November 28, 2019. This is The Better Life. I am your host, Timothy Lawson, along with my better half, Eric Rosenthal. Sir, how are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm well. It's been about a week and a half since we've last spoken because we recorded last week's episode early. So it's been a little bit of time. And I'll say that I say it time and time again, and I'm going to echo it here. When I go more than a week without talking to you, I get a little excited going into the next recording.
There's a little bit of buildup. There's something that you need a release, is what you're saying.
Well, hoping you can help me work something out.
We do record remotely.
We do. We've said this before. You and I could talk about gambling anytime, and we could do it for hours on end. We choose to do it over microphones, record it, release to the public for other people's entertainment. But what's nice about this is this sort of keeps a pattern of those conversations, right? It keeps these conversations accountable. And I kind of like that. I like that we have scheduled time, or at least the sense of obligation to sit down and talk about gambling. How about that? Eric, living the better life means wandering around the Pennsylvania wilderness and still getting your bets down. I was able to – it was far enough away. So usually when we go hiking for these like multi-day hikes, if it's close enough, we will just leave early in the morning and hit the trail. This one was far enough away, and it was a week-long hike, so we decided to make sure we got plenty of rest. So we actually got up to the area the night before, got an Airbnb, and then hit the trail the next day. I didn't have time, nor was I really prepared to really get into all of the Pennsylvania apps, but I did get the Fox Bet app, and was sort of using that through the week. And I was actually surprised that the lines were not, I know like Sugar House and Parks have a bad reputation for like the lines being -114, sometimes worse, on spreads. Foxbet actually had -110 on lines that I was expecting. It was usable. It helped me, I was able to use it through the time that I was there. There was a couple nights where the reception wasn't great, but otherwise was able to get some action down. And the only thing, though, and I don't know, I think if I remember right, the last time we talked about it, you didn't have a whole lot of experience with Pennsylvania apps. Here's what really frustrated me, though. I went to, I saw Foxbet actually conveniently promoted, advertised on Twitter, I think it was, when I was there. And I was like, all right, let's check this out. So I open it up, and it brings me to Foxbet's website, and Foxbet advertises that they have an application for New Jersey and Pennsylvania, and they bring you to one download spot. So I download the Android app, and for anybody who hasn't used this stuff in Android yet, Android, the Google Play store, will not list or does not feature any applications that involve gambling. So you actually have to go through a link that downloads a file that then prompts the install. So that's something that's unique about mobile betting with your Android. So I download the Foxbet app. Boom, I open it up. I notice that the little icon says Foxbet with NJ underneath it. I'm like, that's weird. But I just figured, well, I maybe it works in both states. So I go through the process of making the account, blah, 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 get through it, go to lay a bet. Hey, you're not in New Jersey, you can't do this. And I'm like, oh, okay. And you don't want to like piss the application off, right? Because it can lead to problems. And so I'm like, what is going on? To find out, to actually lay a bet in Pennsylvania, you have to download the PokerStars app through a website, through a link that is on their Mount Airy Casino Resort website, which is the casino that they've partnered with in the state of Pennsylvania, and then create a new ID, new account, everything, and through that app, you can bet in Pennsylvania. None of this is explained on the Fox Bets website, or at least was not easy to find when I first accessed the site. So I think a huge gap in informing the customer from there. Thankfully, I'm a degenerate, and I pushed through. Eric,
in fairness to Foxbet, though, really, like, to assume that people from Pennsylvania can read is probably you're taking a giant leap.
But here's the thing: there were no words, there was no pictures, there was no right. There's no flip book.
There should have been like a meme with like somebody grunting, pointing.
Right.
At, yeah.
Yeah. No. Right. No caveman drawings. Nothing to show me how I access, how I get to the app that I need to be on to place bets. But sure enough, once I got there, it worked fine, right? Deposit, I've already withdrawn once, everything. I think I initiated a withdrawal on the monies. But so far, process is seeing that we work in fine. Odds were okay. The parlay boosts that they have are legitimate boosts. When I first saw them, I was like, no way. I mean, they're legitimate boosts. Like, usually a... for example, like a three-team parlay with spreads, not money lines, but spreads, is usually about 6-1, and they had a lot of boosts that were like 6.50. If you liked the games, you should never like bet those instead of. But like if they had a little bundle that you actually liked, I mean you are getting a little bit of a boost there, but you still have to apply handicapping. But that was my experience with Pennsylvania mobile betting, it was fine.
Well, I'm glad that worked for you.
Yeah.
One question: when you were going through the New Jersey app, had you actually initiated a deposit?
You know what? No, because they had a promotion that just signing up, you got $20 without a deposit. So I tried. So the reason I knew that I was using the wrong app is because I tried playing with that money. So I had not initiated a deposit.
When you tried to bet in the New Jersey app from Pennsylvania, how bad did it bark at you?
I mean, it gave me a warning that, like, it was like, you can't be doing this, and it's actually like it was a strong,
sternly worded.
And it was like, stop doing this, so neither of us get in trouble, kind of thing, right? So
right,
yeah,
yeah. That's been my experience as well, not with Foxbet, but with the right. normal New Jersey apps that I use outside of the state.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Eric, we are recording on the eve of Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, probably my favorite holiday for a number of reasons. The food's always good. I always see a unique set of people since we are, my wife and I live in the Washington, D.C. area. A lot of the people here, a lot of our friends, our colleagues, are also D.C. transplants, right? Very few people that we know here actually grew up here. So a lot of people are here for school. Years ago, I knew people who were here for school. We're all out of college now. But not everybody can get away, right? You have to take leave usually to get away. Not everybody wants to. Me and my wife usually work this week to have opportunities to take leave other weeks. So we host Thanksgiving dinner most years, and we invite a bunch of people, and it's always a different set of people because everybody, people's plans, situations always change from year to year. And not that I don't like seeing the staples of family and friends at other holidays. It's fun though to have a what is such a celebrated and easy, in my opinion, an easy what should be an easy holiday to enjoy and celebrate with different people. And I was thinking, like, it's kind of weird to be thankful for a hobby that slowly takes your money away. But I was thinking about some of the things that I'm thankful for inside of this hobby, this community, this podcast. Do you mind if I show some gratitude here for a second?
Well, I'd enjoy that, but can I make one point before you start? All hobbies are negative EV. They all slowly take your money. That's part of what makes them a hobby.
That's a valid point.
So please continue, and I'm looking forward to this. Go ahead.
first of all, this is in no particular order, but we are coming close to wrapping up what will have been a full year of you, Eric Rosenthal, joining the podcast. And I think that I speak for many people in saying that it has made the podcast more enjoyable, more informative, and overall higher quality. And so, sir, I want to thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule and making the Better Life a part of your weekly routine.
I can't believe I interrupted that. If I had known that's where you were going, I would have let you run right through. No, thank
okay.
you. That's very kind of you. Thank you very much.
I want to thank the listeners, of course. Like I said, Eric and I would talk about gambling anyways, but we decided to record it and release it to the world. And every week we have our own differing opinions on how well or how mediocre we think a episode might be, and we are blown away by the constant positive feedback, the constructive feedback. That's always helpful. And just know that every piece of feedback you give us, Eric and I consider. Eric actually gets a little bit more of it than I do. Eric, what do we spend the time before an episode, or how do we spend our text conversations? It's talking about what people have been saying about the episodes, right?
100% of the time. Yep.
So if you've made a suggestion, if you've provided feedback, both constructive or positive, just know that even if you haven't noticed a difference or gotten the response you've been expecting or whatever it may be, do know that your feedback was taken, it was appreciated, it was considered, and it is a big part of molding this podcast into the long-term project that it is, and we continue delivering as best as we can. I want to thank all the other podcasters in the space. There are times where I don't listen. I'll go through weeks where I'm like, I just want to focus on my own thing. There's weeks where I will binge listen to stuff inside the community, and I love how there are similarities that we can all enjoy that sort of all link us together. But yet, I feel like everybody's doing their own thing, their own unique thing, which makes each show valuable and entertaining to listen to in its own right. And it was this community that was so welcoming and so supportive that helped the Better Life get off the ground quickly initially. So thank you to all the podcast hosts and all the other podcasts in the community for your original acceptance, your continued support, and the collaborations that many of you have spoken to me about doing in the future. With the thanks and gratitude spread to the community, couple things that I'm thankful for in general, or not in general, but as it comes to gambling and casinos in my life. One, gambling has made more sporting events interesting, and I'm thankful for that. I'm not going to lie. The NFL has actually gotten to a point that if I didn't find it to be an entertaining betting vehicle, my interest in it might fall off.
It has fallen off so far for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I will be watching NFL football on Thanksgiving. That will be part of the, you know, the festivities. But yeah, the product, all the changes that they've made have not been for the better. And BETTER, and I don't even enjoy the action on it as much as I used to.
Yeah,
it's really like it's come down three pegs for me.
Last week I grinded myself to about a 3.5-4 unit pot, like kind of week. I was getting there, and then Green Bay, San Francisco, I went heavy on Green Bay. I liked them getting 3 in the hook, and so much for my winning week. Yeah, it was rough.
You know, handicapping aside, my issue is the product.
Oh, sure.
The officiating, you don't know what you're watching anymore. There used to be a joke, you know, 10, 15 years ago, you need to be a lawyer to understand what a catch is. Well, it was kind of left to just what is a catch. Now, everything. I mean, you need a JD to be able to understand and explain why anything is happening. And even the officials can't explain it.
Yeah.
And this isn't the place for this rant, but I'm feeling a little ranty today, so don't press your luck with these NFL games. Go ahead,
yeah,
continue.
Yeah, yeah. Something that I'm thankful for in gambling in my life is it's a unique enough hobby that when you find someone else who enjoys it, it provides you this commonality that when you have something in common with someone at work or in your friend group or whatever it may be, it's easy to talk about these things. But like, you don't really want to talk about, like, especially at the workplace, you don't really want to be too loud about gambling in some places. But what's fun is when you know fellow gamblers or I'm sure you've had this. I think we've talked about moments like this where you describe something or make a quick comment that really is gambling talk.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell who got it, right? Or mm-hmm. who know, and like there's a moment of appreciation for that, right? And like you almost acknowledge it with that person without really even saying much. When I got to work on Monday, I think it was, someone asked me like, would you watch any football yesterday? I was like, yeah, but you know, I had Green Bay plus the points, so yeah, I'm not too happy about that. And I saw one person was like, and then I saw another person was like, huh, like, you know, they felt my pain in that moment. Like, oh no. And I was like, yeah, you're a degenerate too. Yeah. Do you have moments like that?
I do. Usually it's a little bit more esoteric than just, you know, where you're watching the game. A lot of times when I either sit in or a part of presentations regularly, and I'm struggling to find an example, but sometimes there will be gambling parlance used throughout the presentation, and I just kind of smile, and I just know that, you know, by the way, you know, completely tangential, and I don't know if you want to go down this road in this episode. The term degenerate is thrown around in this community and by people who, you know, gamble recreationally. That's a pretty strong word.
It is.
It's like it's something that we throw around as a joke, but like if you're really a degenerate, you have a real problem.
Yes.
Right. It's not a recreational thing. You are ruining the lives of yourself and the people around you. I don't think that's a term that we should be haphazardly using in a joking manner.
You know, I'm glad. So yeah, let's talk about this because this is something that I've actually struggled with in the past year. Is I've definitely gotten looser on using the word degenerate, and I guess there are, and I'm a little too politically correct to go through all the examples, but there are several communities and cultures that will use a word that is used by others to degrade them, and they will use it as a term of endearment or acceptance inside of their own community and culture, right? And I think we can all think of examples of what that is. And I'm not saying that degenerate is in the same light, but I think I have begun using it almost with the same purpose in using this word that people will use to describe you, whether you are one or not, or to describe the hobby or the action, whether that's the case or not, and using it as a way to normalize, probably isn't the right word for it, but to you know, maybe accept the fact that we all gamble on this spectrum of severeness from one day to another. Now, a lot of people are light gamblers no matter what. I think we've all had moments of degeneracy at some points in our lives that we're probably likely not proud of. But I think that I have been looser in using the word for that reason. But I think you're right. I think it's not like I probably shouldn't be, right? It's not a word that should be used as loosely as it is.
So given your example, is it one of those things where if you're a gambler, you're allowed to say it, but if you're not, you're not? Like,
yeah, probably. Like, because as I was describing it, I was like, you know what? If someone called me a degenerate who wasn't also a gambler, I'd probably be offended. And it's hypocritical, right? To call myself or my friends degenerates as a joke, and then
they're calling you a lowlife piece of shit.
Yeah,
that's really what they're calling you.
Yeah, but I think so. But I also think that it's a word that has evolved, right? Like when I was in, I think this is a decent example. When I was in high school, probably like between the ages of like 15 and like 19 or 20, the word pimp was used a lot. Now we would call each other pimps, or we would try to like say, like there'd be like this, like trying to use the word to, you know, call something cool or to call someone, you know, we're not saying, hey, that over there is something that's controlling of sex workers or women. Right? Like, we weren't, you know, the applicate, and like, even though that's the what that word it means, we were using in different contexts, and I think we were using with different meaning, and I think in that era of time, that was the meaning of the word, and this is what's interesting about language, right? Is we have the literal definition of something, but we also have the cultural definition of something or the cultural application of a certain word. And in my teenage years, in my young adult years, calling something pimp or saying that someone was pimp was not saying that they were related in any sort of illegal prostitution or they were controlling of other human beings for that. So, you know, it was a positive application. Now, I understand why my parents were freaking out when they heard me using this word, and so I think you're right. Low life piece of shit is when you think about the definition of it, what it has been, what it actually, the literal definition of it, that is sort of what you're saying. But I think in the cultural application of it, I think we're talking about I haven't thought about it, about how to define it within the way that we use
but that's the key, right? So language is constantly evolving. I'm with you 100%. And saying that something was pimp, which I chuckle hearing you say that, but hearing something, you know, it is a different use of the word to the point where it's taking on its own connotation.
Sure.
I don't really see a difference between gamblers calling each other a degen or a degenerate or a variation of the word, other than it's like a little bit more like loosely thrown around, but it's still referring to gamblers and degenerate behavior. So it's like you just took this really nasty thing and watered it down. So it's not quite as big of a deal, and it applies to everybody, but I don't think the definition really changed.
Okay, I see. Yeah, that's a fair point. I agree. I think that you're right. There isn't we haven't removed it from its application and started giving it new or its original definition and provided it a different application the same way. We're just using it and just trying to use it more lightly. It's like definition light.
Right.
So here's what I'm curious. So I've never really heard the word degenerate. And when I say this, I mean like. The majority of what I've heard it used as is applying to gamblers. But if you like really look into the word degenerates and the definitions, like you're talking about, like, you know, a moral corrupt person, you know, like a quality that is declining, evidence, like stuff like that. It doesn't, you know, if you heard someone call someone a degenerate and did not know what that meant culturally or literally, and went and read the definition, you wouldn't understand there would be no reason to believe that it's associated with gambling, other than that gambling is a form of that. But I've never really heard degenerate used quite as consistently in any other area of life. As I have gambling, have you heard it used that way?
Specifically degenerate? No, I mean variations, yes, but when you're calling somebody a degenerate, right? I mean that is usually a gambler who is out of control and has lost their bearing and put themselves and others at risk.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, very good.
I don't know where you were when I hijacked this, but
I don't remember either. I think I was just giving thanks. I think I was doing that, and I used the word degenerate in something. I'm curious to see how this will have changed my. Use of the word degenerate, because I think you're right. I think that the use of it may be a little too light for something that it's a word you would not want anybody to use against you, right?
Well, right. Let me be clear. Like words don't really offend me. As a society, we get offended too easily. About words, but this has almost taken on like a cutesy kind of connotation, and I don't think it's that.
Yeah. Well, I think I don't know what a great example is, but I'm starting to think this might be akin to the word slut. More, and that I've heard women try to use that in the same ways, where I don't know if it actually changes the application, and it's one of those words that were used inside of a group or a culture or a community is fun, but where being labeled that from an outside source is still degrading or offensive or at the very least upsetting.
Yeah. All right. So that might be a good example, but I think I stand by slut is not, no, you're not harmful to the lives of others.
Yeah.
Like degenerate is taking down people around them. Like it's a nasty thing to watch. Maybe it's a guy and I have a different appreciation for sluts than women do, but I don't think there's the same venom with that.
So do you think that there is a word other than gambler that maybe isn't being used enough or applied that if gambler it covers the whole spectrum, do you think there's a word that covers sort of our pocket of the spectrum where we're not degenerates at the end of the spectrum, but we take this stuff serious enough, we're into this stuff enough to where gambler is a proper proper description, but there's maybe one other word that goes one step further.
I have no idea. I wish we had somebody who was from the UK that we could bring
Punter.
In.
Punter.
That's what I'm thinking. Punter. Yeah.
Yeah. So here's what's interesting about the two words we're talking about just right now. So the word degenerate, according to Google, the use of the word degenerate over time, its mentions were at its highest in 1800 and slowly has sloped down to now. And I'm sure what you originally brought up in it's, you know, that it's, you know, decline, deteriorating, you know, bring around people around you, stuff like that. That's probably a literal application that it had in the 1800s, whereas currently we would sort of use it just to talk about gamblers. That's probably where it starts to narrow. But if you bump that, then looking at the word gambler, in the 1800s, the word gambler was used less than it was used less in 1800 than the word degenerate is even used now, but what has been used more, I guess the word gambler, I guess, has its spike in, I don't know, the early 1900s, and then now it has the app, it has its use around the same now as the word degenerate did back in the 1800s. So does that do you think that says anything to interchangeability throughout time?
I mean, I think it's an interesting point, but I don't think it changes. You know, living in the Northeast, we've seen, I would assume it's more prevalent here than elsewhere. Maybe Vegas, it's more prevalent, but certainly more than the Midwest. And we've all grown up seeing people lose their business, lose their homes, lose their everything, right? Yeah. Like everybody knows somebody that is like a true degenerate. And if you didn't have one in your family, you had one, you know, you either knew somebody or you knew somebody who knew somebody, right? And it's like an ugly, ugly thing. So it's not something I throw around casually. Oh, that's interesting. All right. So while you were Googling words, right? So I put in gamble, right? And and the definition of gamble, according to dictionary.com, as a verb, to lose or squander by betting. Wow.
So that's
awful.
Is dictionary.com, is that a open source site? Like, can people suggest?
I don't believe so. No.
Really?
Yeah, I don't believe so. Now, that's
on. I'm going to Merriam-Webster. See, Merriam-Webster, to gamble, to play a game for money or property, to bet on an uncertain outcome.
Okay. Do I need to one up you and go to OED.com? Like, what are we comparing dictionaries?
Encarta it. No, I guess what I mean is what I'm saying is I don't think dictionary.com has an accurate definition of it. That's what I'm saying.
Oh no, I know it doesn't. Yeah, yeah. But the mere fact that it made it there.
Right.
Right. And I said OED.com, Oxford English Dictionary. We're looking for the tiebreaker here. What are they? I guess you need a subscription to this. All right, we're not going to deal with Oxford English Dictionary.
You need a subscription to know what words mean.
Well, I mean, that's like the legit. Yeah. If you're looking for it, but yeah. So I mean, they have others to wager or risk, but yeah, they're. Third definition, to lose or squander by betting.
Squander.
Are you squandering what I'm squandering, Tim?
we've had a few conversations here that I definitely was not anticipating.
Yep.
Coming into today, but I've enjoyed them for sure. Eric, the last time, it was either the last week or the week before, we challenged Do for a Win at a charity bet in the podcast superiority pool that we're in. They humbly accepted, and then I had a horrible week and gave them 5 point buffer.
Did you listen to their episode where they discussed the bet?
I have not heard that episode yet.
Okay. So it was actually very funny. In our private group, I had said to Craig Stone, you name the charity, you name the denomination, I'll back Tim plus 1.5. Well, you had a good week, they had a bad week, and by the time that Craig was informing Kyle of the bet, you had cut the lead down to a point.
Yep.
Before the spread. So you actually had the lead going into last week with the spread. Craig trying to explain to Kyle why he would agree to that when they felt that they were due to regress to more average, I want to say return, not return, but, you know, they would regress. They'd come back to the mean. And that, you know, they had a 1 point lead and he was spotting you 1.5. I was like visualizing Kyle and his inability to understand why Craig would do such a thing. I found it very, very funny. It was the most recent episode of Do for a Win, if anybody would like to listen to it.
Okay. But
yeah.
So going into, I was 1 point behind going into this past week. Eric, I talked myself out of winning picks. I had three winning picks originally selected. I go in, I look at it, I overthink it, I change all three of them, and all three of them lost. I guess just two. Because I had Green Bay ahead of time, too. So, yeah, so, but it was Green Bay was my 1 point. So I changed two. I'm sorry. Yeah. So what should have been a 5 point week for me ended up being a 0 point week.
Mm-hmm.
And it's far, like it's not too, I mean, there's still plenty of weeks ahead, but, I can't miss a 3 point pick. I don't think going forward. Because now they're 5 points ahead, yeah.
I mean, Team Rubicon's going to get the money either way, so it's really not a big deal. But,
right.
You know, you are right there.
Yeah.
I don't know. You're going to have to do better, Tim.
I'm going to have to do better. But 7 out, running away with this. They're 7 points ahead of Cousin Vito. They are 17 points ahead of me, and I'm in 4th. 7 out's going to be the clear winner. Unless myself or Due for a Win have a huge run and Vito drops, Vito's likely to take second. So I think the only entertaining action in this anymore, Eric, is
who will finish last?
Who will? Well, I mean, your guys are 8 points. Vegas Confessions is 8 points. In last place.
Mm-hmm.
Travel Fanboy is really going to have to hit the brakes, I think, for VC to catch up to him.
Well, if you look at our average per week and his average per week, like, really, we just need a short burst at the end.
Gotcha.
I mean, he's regular. Listen, we're performing worse, but he's regularly performing at a not so high level. So we just need to, you know, get all our wins at the end.
Okay. Well, good luck.
The truth could be said the other way as well, right?
Right.
You know, I'm not missing that point, but I think it would be easier, even though the point spread is higher. I think it would be easier for us to catch Adam than it would be for you to catch Vito.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yep.
I still want to know where Vito's, what his process is.
How do you spell eeny, meeny, miny? No, I'm kidding.
So this past, so you and I are also in a pool, a pick'em pool, with listener Randy set up for us. And I've had a couple weeks where I've gotten into like the top three or top five that pays out a little bit of money each week. That's been kind of nice, but otherwise not really doing all that well for the season. So while we were on the trail, I was laying in bed and I was going down each game, and I was letting my process for this past week was to let Shannon choose the winner, and then I would rank them based on how that didn't work either. So I'm not quite sure. But the NFL, I've realized, you know, every year when I go bet football, every year there's like two or three teams where like, I just don't get this team, whatever. That's like half the league for me right now. You know what I mean? Like when I say I follow, like I like watching football, there's something familiar about it, right? You know? Mm-hmm. And so it's fun to watch, but my draw to watch it has just dropped so much. I'll watch a little bit on a game that I have action on, or I'll watch Red Zone. I can watch Red Zone. But the days of like sitting in front of a screen and watching a football game from kickoff to the final snap, they're dwindling fast.
So the league that Randy runs, 2 weeks ago, I cashed again, and I'd like to explain to you my process.
Okay.
I open up the page that lists the games. I have about four or five games that I have already handicapped, and I know where I want to go. I choose those five games. Then the rest of the games, I just like press a button, picking a team. I don't even read the team. And then when I rank them, I just because it's also a confidence pool. So I think that week there were 14 games. The five games that I like, I usually bet, you know, 14, 13, 12, 11, 10. And the rest I don't even read. And I just hodgepodge, pick a number. And it is so not like me to do something like that, especially that I would have money on. But I have fatigue from all of these different places where, you know, I mean, listen, nobody put a gun to my head, but I agreed to have action in these places with different lines, and I'm done. To the point where the following week after, and that win made me profitable for the year, I didn't even submit my picks on time.
It's interesting you said it's interesting how that part of not the same lines, like you would think it doesn't matter, but like you have to think about it differently, right? Like when you go into, you know, the lines that you're betting into are different than the lines in the circa contest, which are different from the lines in the superiority pool. And, you know, a half a point changes the way you think about a game, right? And so it's not as easy as applying your opinion in betting across all of it, or applying your opinion in the pool across all of it. Like, you have to think differently going into each one, not only on the game theory of how that pool or contest or wager is won, but, you know, how you actually feel about that number now that it's a half a point different. And I hadn't really thought about that until you mentioned that.
It happens regularly where I'll be handicapping for actual bets, and to be clear, all I care about are the actual, you know, the money that I'm putting down. Everything else at this point is you know, just kind of, I don't want to call it nonsense, but just not important to me. And you'll like a game at four, and then you'll see it's 3.5 in one and 4.5 on the other, and depending on where you were leaning to begin with, you know, there really is I don't want to call it confusing, but you're given way more thought to this than I would like to, I think. I'm spending more time on it than I would like to. And quite frankly, you know, if I like it at four and I'm shopping different books to find the best line, that's enough time. You know, it isn't – New Jersey isn't like Nevada where you have a Don Best screen or you use the Las Vegas Advisor sports spreadsheets and it just compares everything for you. Like, you're spending time looking in 12 different spots for the same thing. To then reapply that, I guess you find value and you attack the value, but I've said a couple times, I gave away my fantasy football teams this year.
Yeah.
I don't think I have any interest in entering any of these there's cash buy-in, but I mean, where you're not actually betting with cash. I don't know how you would describe these tournaments or I'm done. It isn't worth the time to me. You can't win enough money for it to be worth the time.
Yeah.
And that's not because my year has gone poorly. It really hasn't been that bad.
Sure.
But yeah, I would say my enjoyment dwindles with each additional application.
Okay.
Anyway, Randy, thanks for the profitable year. I appreciate you inviting me. Let this officially be noticed. I won't be rejoining next year, but thinking of you, happy belated birthday.
Happy belated birthday.
Yeah.
All right. Eric, by the way, I am on briefly looking at Hollywood Casino Charlestown's website. Why do you gotta do that? Why can't you just be supportive?
Because it's Hollywood and it's West Virginia.
All right, that's fair. I was like, you know what? I haven't looked at the promotions recently. Let's see what's good. So, scrolling down, you could win big Thursdays in December. The $80,000 Lucky Snowflake Kiosk Game. Eric, and when I saw this, I was like, what is it? Are there a bunch of bubbles with words that might offend you? And you choose one that offends you. And
only millennials should swipe.
Yeah. That was the first thing I thought of. Thought you'd appreciate that.
Thank you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Eric, FeedSpot blog. Whatever that is, put out a top 15 gambling podcast you must follow in 2019. And it was last updated November 26, 2019. Let's go ahead and, let's start from the bottom. Number 15, the Side Action Podcast. Never heard of it.
Nope.
But it's a sports gambling podcast focused on relevant topics for major sports and smaller ones, topical for veteran sports gamblers and newbies alike. Well, congratulations, Side Action, for being named number 15. Number 14, the Vegas Confessions Podcast. How about that?
We're very proud to be on that list. Thank you.
I can imagine. this podcast is all, I mean, I should stop reading the about because it's, the about is not, it's populated by, the podcast feed itself. So, anybody can find this stuff. All right. Well, congratulations, for making the list.
Well, thank you. I'll give you the punchline afterwards. Good. Yeah, please continue.
All right. Number 13, Life's a Gamble. I have not heard of that one. Had you?
Nope.
Okay. Number 12, 6-year seniors, college football and college basketball with a little gambling and a lot of pro wrestling. I hadn't heard of that one.
Nope.
The Sports Antidote Podcast. Looks like another sports betting podcast. Against All Odds with Cousin Sal. I'd heard of that one.
Mm-hmm.
Number 9, Action Network Sports Betting Podcast. I assume that Action Network had a sports betting podcast. I didn't know it was titled so directly like that.
Can I assume this is Darren Rovell?
It actually doesn't say who hosts it.
Okay. Yeah, I've never listened to it. I don't know.
Neither have I. Number 8, Lone Wolf Hoff, Sports and Gambling. Never heard of it. Number 7, Gamble On. It's a podcast presented by US Bets. Number 6, Bang the Book Betting Podcasts. Never heard of it. Number 5, Sports Gambling Podcast. Have heard of it.
Yep.
One of the people involved with that, Christian Pena, who's been on the show. Some sharper minds over there. I don't want to make it sound like they're. What I'm saying,
they're very popular.
Right, they're popular, mm-hmm. and they're not blowing smoke. They know what they're talking about.
Yep.
Number 4, Good Better Bets. I guess this is what's it say? Diggs, Todd McComas, and Gumpy. Hell of a name right there. Cover everything you need to know in the gambling world, including all the locks, all the insights, and who you should be fading. Never heard of it.
No.
Number 3, you can bet on that. We've heard of that one.
Yeah.
Heard of that one.
Yeah.
Congratulations, fellas, for being on this list and higher up in the top 3 where you belong. Number 2, Gambling with an Edge. We've heard of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then number 1, Behind the Bets podcast. And I believe, who is this?
Doug Kazarian.
Doug Kazarian, yep. So, and I'd heard of that one. Doug does a fine job with that that podcast. So, noticeably, there's a podcast that doesn't seem to be on here, Eric.
Well, I mean, it's only the top 15. So, you know.
Yeah. I was when I saw Vegas Confessions retweeted, I was like, "Oh, that's cool." And I went on there with no expectations, but I clicked on a link without any expectations, but was still disappointed to see that certain podcasts had not made the list.
Our buddy Hall Monitor at Chaser Laredo spoke up quickly that The Better Life should have been on there. Follows up with what a shame. So you know what? Do we have t-shirts left?
We do.
All right. Hall Monitor, send me your contact information. You just got yourself a t-shirt.
Hall Monitor, thank you, sir, for standing up. If I may – go ahead.
So I wanted to share with you the punchline to all of this.
Oh, of course.
All right. So I'm on the phone with Julian and Kelly, and Julian is explaining to Kelly that VC was listed on the top 15 gambling podcasts. And Kelly said, 15? Are there really that many? To which I quickly replied, well, there's at least 16. And she, you know, she didn't know. She didn't read it. But, you know, there was like an awkward like 2 seconds, and then it was really very funny.
Right.
But, you know, this reminds me of Travel Zork had put out an article on the top 10 Vegas podcasts, and Scott Robin was left off the list. And he, you know, was aware of the fact that he was left off the list. And, you know, he always referred to himself as the 11th best Las Vegas podcast. And I quickly reminded him that, you know, not being in the top 10 doesn't actually make you 11. So, you know, I don't think we can claim 16. I don't think that's fair. Just not top 15. I would feel better about it if I knew most of the ones on there. Are you on the FeedSpot page with the ranking?
Yes.
All right. So if you scroll down to the bottom, yes. It'll tell you about the author. I don't expect this gentleman to be listening to our podcast either way. I don't think he's our target demographic. So if this gentleman is the one who put together the list, I'm okay with not being on it. I think he doesn't get us.
That's fine. If people were to ask me Look, on it, none on it, that's fine. If I were to, if someone was like, hey, what are some podcasts that need to be considered? I think, and I'm not saying deserve to be on here, but need to be part of the conversation. I think Beating the Book, like Gil Alexander, needs to be in that conversation. I think 7 Out, even in its infancy, deserves to be a part of that conversation.
It's no longer in its infancy. And by the way, Big Joe might be the most underrated, I don't want to call him a character, persona, whatever.
Personality.
Personality, thank you. Big Joe might be the most underrated personality in this whole community.
Okay, so...
All about Big Joe.
All right, well, fuck the FeedSpot article then. Let's roll into Big Joe. Joe, I love you. I was listening to 7 Out, and Vinny, who I adore, couldn't remember my name. And Big Joe quickly completes the sentence. Lawson and Vincent. Vincent Chenz was surprised. You listen to the show, and you know what Big Joe said? Listen every week. You know what, Big Joe? Listen to you every week, too. And you are now my favorite co-host on the 7-Out podcast.
But you know, you tell one that you love them, the other one that you adore them. Like, I feel like I should hang up and let you call them and talk to them now. This is what's the audio equivalent of get a room?
get a soundstage.
Get a soundstage, you three. Enough.
So, I've said this before. And I will save more of these types of thoughts for an episode we'll do closer to the end of the year when I will speak to sort of the state of gambling in this community, stuff like that. 7-Out podcast, definitely one of my favorites early on and one that I think the community is excited about.
Well, you know what's interesting? These things come in waves. And when I say these things, I mean new shows, new personalities, new takes, new topics. There isn't any, I don't want to call it stonewalling, but people are more helpful towards new people than not. And I think the content just keeps improving.
Yeah.
Right? Like it isn't this competitive nature. It's really like, hey, what can I do to help? And I think, and they may have been as good as they are without any help. I don't know. I haven't had to I haven't been asked to assist in any way. But I know that when we were new over at VC, we had to ask for a lot of help.
Let me quickly read you the first 5 people that I had on the Better Life. Mm-hmm. Gil Alexander, Mark Duvall, Cousin Vito, Chris Kim, Mark Meltzer. That's because people were willing to be a part of this, right? Not far after that, Adam Bauer, Julian Romero, Tony Snyder, Eric Rosenthal, episode 11.
I didn't make that top 10 either, huh?
No, Julian Romero beat you, buddy. He was there first. He was there for me. Dr. Mike, and then it's after that. Right, it's after that that the Georgiosas, the Sean Chaffins, Keith Lyle, Shackelford, like people that are like known in the community, but I wouldn't consider like part of this tight knit community. I had about 4 or 5 DMs the second week I was in existence. I had about 4 or 5 DMs already from people who said, "Hey, welcome to the community. Let me know if you need any help." And it turned into features and collaborations and stuff like that. And as we've said time and time again, other people have said this, I'm echoing them. Rising tide raises all ships, and this community is evidence of that, although some of you keep on shooting your cannon straight through your frickin' ship floor. Eric, because I was on the trail and because I've been busy since getting off the trail, I have not been able to go to a casino, so there isn't really a lot to talk about there. I mean, I picked up a jacket. That's about as much as I got to say. Went to MGM National Harbor. They gave me a free jacket because I was a gold member. Like, celebrate gold, and here's your jacket. I get there, of course, I don't have any more larges, medium fit okay, so I ended up rolling away with that. Picked up some free play. And that is about as much as I watched. Right, it was over the weekend. It was a Saturday, maybe. No, it was a Sunday, because it was after I got back. It was Sunday again. Craps tables, one or two of them are $25. Rest of them are $50. Blackjack tables, I didn't see one that was $25. They paid 3-2. The tolerable high stakes, are high minimums of MGM National Harbor, are slowly turning into like completely out of my comfort zone.
Well, yeah. So in fairness, you hiked 22 miles through the woods in Pennsylvania. Right?
Well, in one day. It was 93 miles total.
93 miles during last week?
Yes. From Sunday morning to Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, from Sunday morning to Saturday afternoon. Okay, so over the course of a week, yes. You hiked 93 miles in Pennsylvania.
Yes.
You gambled more than I did.
Nice.
That's a true story.
Yeah.
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 You're not getting me to do that. That's for sure.
Yeah. We definitely look, living a better life means realizing there's nowhere for you to pitch your tent at the shelter, and deciding to push the 4 more miles to get to town to just sleep there, because we were going to stay in this little town called Duncannon. And living a better life means taking the gamble on doing a night hike. It's like 6 p.m. It's already dark. We have headline Sam. We have this like glow stick necklace that we put on the dog so we can see him. Little did we know that we had 4 more miles. 2.5 miles of it is super, like, it's a rock scramble on a ridge top, and then after that, it's like this super narrow trail on the side of the, like, steep side of the mountain. So yeah, that was also kind of a gamble.
That's some degenerate shit right there, Tim.
Yeah. Oh, very well. Well, thank everybody for listening. Today is, this is coming out on Thanksgiving. I don't want that to not go without being repeated. We really do thank everybody for listening. I don't say this often, but I'm going to say it today. If you think of it and you feel so inclined, please leave us a rating and review in your podcatcher of choice, whether it's iTunes, Stitcher Radio, whatever it may be. It is nice to see that feedback in the attempt to grow the podcast. That does help. So we do appreciate if you took a few seconds to do that. TheBetterLife.us is the website, but there is something currently not working quite right with it. It'll tell you that it's in maintenance, which it's not. So I'm trying to get that figured out, and I'm telling you that now in case you try to go for merchandise, whatever it may be. I'm trying to get that figured out. But the long talked about, I guess not long talked about, but something I mentioned a couple episodes back was this Better Santa idea. And I will be tweeting out a direct link for people who want to take part in that. So while this whole maintenance issue on the website is happening, I will have a direct link for people if you want to do that. So look out for that tweet, probably sometime today or tomorrow, Friday. It'll be $25. Shipping will depend on, I just put in a base weight on what I think is going to be, and shipping will just depend on your area. I'm doing this with one request. I'm going to send these once they're ready. So if you want to take part in this, it's $25, whatever, and then you'll get about 3, maybe 4, but I'm thinking 3 items that have to do with casinos or gambling or this community. After you purchase, you will be getting a link to a survey of sorts that'll allow me to get kind of an idea of who you are as a gambler. The one request that I have is that when you receive the gifts, you can open them whenever you want. Everybody has different traditions around the holidays. If December 25th is not something that matters to you, and you want to open it, that's fine. If you're doing Christmas with the family after the holidays, even for whatever reason, and are going to save it for that, that's fine. My request is to that if you open it ahead of December 25th, that you don't post anything about what you received until Christmas Day at the if you're someone who has to wait longer than that, then I'm sorry, but whatever. That's my one request. So that will I will tweet that out, and hopefully it'll be live on the site soon enough. I'll probably be taking purchases through the end of Monday, maybe Tuesday. It'll come down when I'm sort of done, and then I'll start putting it together. Hope to have things shipping out by the 14th. So that way, people do have it in time for Christmas if they want to actually put them underneath the tree. But it should be fun. I'm looking forward to doing this.
You are a sick, sick man, but I'm glad that you're doing it, and I hope everybody appreciates it.
Thank you. And lastly, I don't know if you get these messages anymore, Eric. I'm pretty sure you probably have a copy and paste response to it by now. I still get messages probably once or twice a week of people asking, "Hey, is it looking like Gamblapalooza is going to be in Biloxi in April?" And our official response right now is in the weekend of April 18, Eric and I are going to be in Biloxi. And we will be gambling. Should you want to join us, that's where you should be.
So I don't have the copy and paste response. I have nothing to do with where Gamblapalooza will be. And Vito has yet to make any announcement. Right. So that's it.
Yeah. I guess what I'm saying is we will help promote Gamblapalooza as that information comes out. But our plan is to be in Biloxi that weekend, independent of what is happening with decisions about Gamblapalooza, is my point.
Fair.
And then, of course, a thank you to the Patreon supporters, patreon.com/thebetterlife. Those of you that are in the book club, books going out next week, and it will be Will Hunt in the Desert. I think that is on theme for a lot of the conversations we've had this year, and I'm confident people will find that perspective on hosting interesting. Yeah, Eric, am I missing anything? Do you have anything for the listeners?
No, I just want to say thank you to them, to everybody, to all of you who have made this year a very positive experience, and all the hard work that you do, Tim, all the time that you put in. I'll echo your thoughts with the listener. So while you're sitting down to some turkey or whatever it is, know that we appreciate you, and look forward to further discussion after the holiday.
I'm Timothy Lawson. On behalf of Eric Rosenthal, good night. Good luck.